Om Shanti. So now we begin the first of the real classes for this week with Sister Sheila. This week we have what I think, honestly, are a range of the best teachers available from around the world that are coming here to share their knowledge and experience with you. Yeah? After Sister Shilu's class, there will be some announcements, so if you can stay back for that. But for now, Sister Shilu is with us. She is one of the most experienced Raj Yoga teachers. You have translation issue? Is okay? Good, thank you. So Sister Shilu is one of our most experienced teachers and yogis. She is based here in Mount Abu. She is originally from Bombay, now called Mumbai, and has lived here in Mount Abu as her base for many decades. She travels and teaches widely across India and also internationally. We have been fortunate to have Sister Shilu open the classes for peace of mind. I think from the beginning you have been giving peace of mind presentations. We are very honoured and delighted to have Shilu with us again. Thank you.
A very good morning to all of you, and greetings of peace. And we say in the Brahma Kumaris, Om Shanti. So I would like you to repeat after me, Om Shanti. Om Shanti means I am a being of peace. So welcome on behalf of the brothers and sisters of this organization, and also on behalf of me. You have come all the way from your country to India and to Mount Abu, which is a very beautiful hill station, and we say Abu means Abba, Abba Father, the home of the Father. So you have come to your Father's home. If I say that, it's not an exaggeration, because this is the home of the Father of all souls, as we are one family. We are children of one Supreme Being. And as children of one Supreme Being, we have a lot of relationship with one another too. We say we are all brothers, or you can say brothers and sisters, because it's a family relationship. So you have come here in this retreat named Peace of Mind. We have to first of all understand, why do we want peace? Who wants peace? And first of all, what is the definition of peace? Was there a time in this world when there was complete peace? Or will this time ever come in the future? And if it was and it will come in the future too, although it is not now, because every day we read in the newspapers, the television, about the news of war in this country, that country. So there's a lot of news of war. And we all want peace. So what does peace really mean? I asked someone this question, what do you mean by peace? And then why do you say peace of mind? So what is the definition of peace? And someone said, no war is peace. But is it true? Does peace mean no war? So if there is no war, there should be peace. But it's not like that. Even if there's no war in one country, it doesn't mean that everyone has peace there. Because war starts in the mind of man before it comes on the battlefield. So if war starts in the mind of man before it comes on the battlefield, then peace also should start in the mind of man before it comes in the world. From individual peace to world peace. But what does peace really mean? So it's not just no war is peace. Peace has a very deep meaning. Somebody else may give another view of peace. He may say that when the whole world has peace, then I am at peace. But do we have to wait for that? For the whole world to become peaceful and then I will be at peace? Or do I need peace right now? I can't wait for the whole world to be peaceful, then I'll get peace. Then somebody may say that if there's food to eat, water to drink, clothing to wear, and a shelter, so if all these necessities of life are there, then there is peace. But then again a question, even if somebody has all these, does it mean that he's at peace? No, not, I don't think so. He may have food, but then his health is not good. So that food, how is it going to help him? He has no hunger at all. He's not hungry. He doesn't feel hungry. He has lots of clothes. He has a very good house. But his relationships are not good with people around him. Then too, he won't get peace. Someone may be healthy but not enough money. Then also he's not at peace. Somebody has health and wealth, but then mentally he's always disturbed. Emotionally too, he's always disturbed. Then can he be at peace? No. So if we really need peace, there should be good health, there should be peace inside the mind, there should be enough wealth, and the relationships also should be very loving. And therefore we say it's not just food, water, clothing, shelter which will give peace. There is much more than that. There's a long list. Somebody may say that if there is love, happiness, harmony, this, you know, so many qualities we think of, the virtues or values we think of. If everyone has that, then there'll be peace. But again, am I going to wait for everyone to have all these values and then there'll be peace? I need peace right now, at this moment. So how to define peace? Peace is, it's a state of your mind. If you think you are peaceful, no one can make you peaceless. I challenge. If you are at peace, no one can make you peaceless. And if you are peaceless, no one can make you peaceful. Will you agree with me? You may say, why not? Others can give me peace, but no. It's all in the mind. That's why they say, as you think, so shall you become. So what is your thinking like? If your thinking is concerned with peace, it is actually going to the depth of peace, then where is peacelessness? Peace or peacelessness is not dependent on the external atmosphere alone. But it is very much to do with the inside. Now inside what? You may say, I want peace. But who is that I? This is today's topic. Introduction of the self. If I ask you, who are you? You'll say, you can give so many answers. But one basic answer which everyone will give, which will be common, that answer is, I am a human being. Some may be specific, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I am a lawyer, I am a teacher, I am a businessman, I am this, I am that, I am that. But that would be something specific. But in a general way, everyone will say, I'm a human being. But then that word human being is also made up of two words, human and being. The word human comes from the word humus. Humus means soil, you know, soil of the earth. And being means something which is energy. It's an energy. So, human is something physical and being is something spiritual. So anything which is physical is always perishable. It's always changing. It's not always existent. It starts and it ends. But something which is a being part, the energy part, that energy is eternal. That energy is imperishable. It was never created and will never be destroyed. That is, that energy was, is and will always be. It's not that it started and will end, no. But human, a physical body, we know how it's created. We also know how a person dies and then his body is either cremated or buried or so. Ever in each religion is different. But that energy is never created, nor can it be destroyed. So, who am I? Am I that physical humus which is perishable, or am I that energy, the psyche, the eternal entity, the being part, which is never created nor destroyed? I was, I am, and I will always be. So between the two, who am I? What am I? And when I say, who am I, that should be in its eternal form. If you say, I am a young man, but after 50 years you'll be an old man, you won't be called young. Today you may say that I'm a doctor. Tomorrow you may change your profession, you are no longer a doctor. You know, we change professions. So all these definitions or introductions, they are all temporary, all perishable. But what is that definition of myself which, even if I go in front of God, is the same definition? Even if I go in front of other human beings, it is the same definition. It doesn't change. Neither yesterday, nor today, nor tomorrow it will change. That is the true me. So spirituality teaches us about the true self. The word spirituality means something to do with a spirit, and spirit means the true self. So when I say human being, you are that being part, that spiritual part. Now when I say the spiritual part, it means nobody can kill you. You were not even created, and you have come down since ages. And actually that's what I am. So I'm not that one which is born and which will die one day. No. So spirituality tells me about my eternity. Spirituality tells me about my true relationship with God. Spirituality tells me about what I have to do and what I have not to do. What we call as karma theory, karma philosophy. What is good, what is bad. Spirituality teaches us the time cycle. Was time ever created? And will time be destroyed one day? Or is time eternal? Is time like a line created here and finished here? Started here and ended here? Or is time like a cycle? So when we say started here and ends here, that is the end of everything. But when we say it's a cycle, that means no beginning, no end. This matter, was it created once upon a time? And if it was created, that means will it be destroyed one day? Or has it never been created, nor will it ever be destroyed? And science answers this question. What is matter? Matter is eternal. Matter was never created, nor will it ever be destroyed. And when we say matter, We can also connect it with energy. Energy too is never created and never destroyed. They say that energy, it changes its form, but the total sum of that equation will always be the same. So when I say that I am an energy form, and I have put on this physical form, then I understand the true meaning of human being. And I can relate to others also in that way, because I'm not alone. And when I say this to myself, I realize that I have also come from a home. This world is not my eternal home, because everything in this world is changing. Everything is changing. Nothing is eternal in this world. Matter is also changing. Though matter is eternal, but everything made of matter is always changing. So when we understand in this way, we understand three aspects. One is the Self, the second is the Supreme Being, and the third is nature or matter. So today we will discuss only on the Self. And that Self is given so many names in different languages. Some say it's a soul, some say it is Ruh, Atma, Psyche. And we say that soul has come from God. This body has not come from God. This body is from matter, and to matter it will return. From dust thou hast come, to dust thou shalt return. But that's not for the soul, it's for the body only. I have not come from dust, and nor will I go into dust. So I have come from God, and I have to go back to God. So who is that I? Somebody may say that I have a soul in me. I have a soul in me. When they say this sentence, it means they are the body and they have a soul. And some may say, I have a soul in my body. That means, are you something third person who has a soul as well as a body? Or someone will say, I am a soul in my body. What do you think is the right statement? I have a soul in me, I have a soul in my body, or I am a soul in my body? What will be the answer? Yes? Say, I am a soul in my body. Because who's speaking? Who is seeing all this? Who's hearing? Who is doing actions? Physically you may say it's the eyes which are seeing. You may say it's the ears which are hearing. It's the mouth which is speaking. But is it so? I have a microphone here, and I'm speaking through the microphone, and it's coming to you, the sound is coming to you, and through speaker you're able to hear the sound well. But then is the microphone speaking, or is someone speaking through the microphone? Definitely it's not the microphone speaking, but someone through the microphone. So this mouth is like a microphone. Who is speaking? Who is deciding what I have to speak in front of this audience? How I have to speak? What is right and what is not right? Who is deciding? Who is thinking? And who is creating that impact of what it has spoken. Because after we speak, you know, we think a lot, oh, I should have said this, I should have said that, I shouldn't have said this, I shouldn't have said that. You know, we then correct our mistakes. So who is that who is doing all that work? It's not the mic. The eyes are seeing, but then are the eyes really seeing? The eyes are only like a window. Window is open and anyone can see through that window, but the window is not seeing anything. Someone looking through the window can say, this scene is very beautiful. Somebody may say, oh, it's not at all beautiful, whatever. So who's deciding whether the scene outside the window is beautiful or not beautiful? Now that is the work of the soul. So the eyes are like the windows, the mouth is like a microphone, the ears are like the headphones. The headphones are not hearing, but someone is hearing through the headphones and realizing, yes, that's true, it's true. So when I think in this way, I realize that I am an entity separate from the body. This body is, in a way, like a costume. We change costumes. In one day, sometimes we change even 2-3 costumes. So costume is separate from me. So when I say this to myself, I realize that this physical body is separate from me. So who is that I? And I'm only a guest on this world drama stage. I have come here alone and I will go back alone. Many people say this too. No one came with me and no one will accompany me when I leave. When a child is born, they say the child has brought its fortune. When a person dies, it is said this person has taken his karma with him, his good or bad actions with him. So what is it that accompanies the soul? The body is dead. And then who wants peace? The body does not want peace. Really, if you see to it, the body is like a machine. Whole day and night the heart is pumping blood, the lungs are breathing, the stomach is digesting food, the blood is circulating in the body. So this machine is going on day and night without fail. If for one moment the heart stops, finish, that's the end of it. It has to move on and on and on. It doesn't rest at all. But who says I'm tired today, I want rest? It's not the soul, it's not the body. Body, if it takes rest, it means finished. But who is experiencing this tiredness? The soul. And that's the true me. Now when we understand this and then we visualize ourselves in this way, we realize that how different I am from this body. If I don't want to speak, I can shut my mouth. I don't want to speak. If I don't want to see, I can just close my eyes. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear, okay, I just put my hands over my ears. I don't want to hear. So I'm the master of my senses. I can't blame the senses for doing something which I did not like. I spoke something which was not right. And then I can't say, oh mouth, why did you speak like that? Oh eyes, why did you see that? Oh ears, why did you hear that? Because they are just instruments. We can't blame the microphone for saying something. Organs, physical organs, because they are only instruments. So who is doing everything? Who is the doer? The physical senses are your instruments. You are working through those instruments. And if you don't want them to work, okay, just put them down. So when I say this to myself, I realize that I am the master of my senses. And when I say I am the master of my senses, it means all these senses are under my control. Sometimes this physical body can be compared to, five horses. They are the five horses, like a chariot with five horses. We show sometimes in our pictures. They are the five senses. The five senses, the sense of touch, the skin, the sense of sight, the eyes, the sense of hearing, the ears, the sense of smell, the nose, and the sense of taste, the tongue. So these are the five senses. And the soul acts through these five senses. But today what has happened is that instead of the soul controlling the five senses, the five senses are controlling the soul. It's just like the driver is driving a car. And whilst driving, he has to be very vigilant. Otherwise, there could be an accident. So he is the master of the car. It's up to him how he has to drive. He can't blame the car for driving fast or driving slow. All the gadgets are there and he's controlling them. He cannot blame any part of the car. He can say, well, I don't know, instead of pushing the accelerator, I'm pushing the brake. The car will not move. So why is the car not moving? I'm pushing the brake. So I know what to do and what not to do. So I can't blame any part of the car. I'm the master. So these physical organs are just my instruments. If I don't want to use them, I can just withdraw. I can't blame them. Why did I see this? Why did I hear that? Why did I speak like that? No, because I am the doer. Actually, you can't blame anyone. But in today's world, we play this blame game. I got angry because of you. If you would not have said this, I would have not got angry. Why did you say this? You made me angry. Well, somebody may say anything, you can't stop him. Freedom of speech. But why did I get angry? So can I blame him for my anger? Or I blame myself that I should not have got angry. Even if he said that, okay, I heard it from one ear and took it out from the other ear. Why did I get angry? No need. But I got angry because he said this. Or that. So that's what people are doing, blame game. We hardly realize that I am the doer and I am the reaper. I will reap what I do. If I give sorrow to someone, I will reap sorrow. If I give happiness to someone, I will reap happiness. So if someone is giving me sorrow, definitely I have given sorrow to that one. I can't blame him. Why did you give me sorrow? No one is giving just like that. Even soil does not give me anything like that till I plant some seed. I get only what I give. So in this way, I am the master of myself. I am the master of my senses. And when I think in this way, this is actually the awareness of the true self. So when I say peace of mind, again the question is, who wants peace? I want peace. The mind wants peace. But then what is the mind? Again a very big question. Who am I? And what is the meaning of mind? And why does the mind want peace? Mind is not physical. In the brain we have many things. But where is the mind in the brain? No neurosurgeon will be able to point out this is the mind, because it's not physical. It's a state of consciousness which is part of the soul. Soul means a spiritual entity, a conscient entity which has that power to think, and that's called the mind. Soul is a spiritual conscient entity which also has the power to decide, because the mind thinks so many things, good, bad, waste, you know, so many. But then who decides which thought is right, which thought is not right? The mind is just thinking. You know, there are thought waves which come from the mind. And they say that thought waves travel so fast, there's no other physical entity, physical energy which can travel as fast as the mind. You know, when light ray comes from the sun, it takes 8 minutes to reach the earth. That far is the sun from the earth. 8 minutes for the sun ray to start from the sun and reach the earth. But it takes only 1 second for the mind to think from here and reach the sun. It takes not even a second, fraction of a second. You think of the sun and there you are in the sun. So what is the speed of the mind? You can't compare it with anything physical, because it is spiritual. But then above the mind is the intellect, the decisive factor. No, I should not think like that. Now who's saying that? First of all, I'm thinking, then I'm saying, no, I should not think like that. It's not right to think in this way. So who's deciding that I should not think in this way? Again, it's a spiritual entity, what we call as the intellect. So mind are like thought waves, energy. And intellect can be compared to a balance, the decisive factor. In a balance, you have 3 things. First of all, you have the scales. And then you have a rod and then a needle. So the scales, they tell you the weight. The horizontal rod tells you that you have to be unbiased, whether it is gold in it or diamonds in it or stones in that balance or scale, that rod has to stay stable. And then the needle has to be upwards, vertical. So that is the mind, the horizontal rod. That is the intellect. And then the scales are like your values, your decisive factor. And according to your intellect, you decide what is good for you and what is not good for you. And then whatever actions you do, these actions don't go in vain. These actions then create an imprint on the soul itself, what we call as personality traits. And these personality traits are carried forward. We say, yes, there is a rebirth. They are carried forward. So these are three spiritual, faculties of every soul. It's the mind, the intellect, and the personality traits. Each one's personality is different. Behavior is different. Each one is different. Even twins coming from the same mother, born nearly at the same time, they have different behavior. One child is always smiling, the other child is always crying, although they are twins, because each has a different soul. No two souls are alike. But then what is a soul? How do you define a soul? You can't see the soul. Many people say, if we can't see the soul, how can we believe? But everything you see is not that what you should believe. There are so many things you can't see. Can you see sound? But it's an energy. You can't see it. But again, this is physical energy. Soul is a spiritual energy, therefore S-O-U-L we say. It's a source of unique light. S-O-U-L. Source of unique light. And that's what I am. Source of unique light. Now, remember in this way. Sit for a few minutes and ponder on it. I am a source of unique light. Seated at the center of my forehead. Between the two eyebrows. I am the master of my senses. I am beyond this physical body. I am eternal. I am imperishable. I am immortal. I existed even before this body came into existence. And I will continue to exist even after this body perishes. Mind is my faculty. I think through the mind. I decide through the second faculty, the intellect. And I perform actions through my third faculty, my personality traits. My true nature is peace. So peace is my nature. I am a peaceful soul. Now go into its depth. So when I become aware of my true self, I realize my true nature as well. Everything has its own nature. You will see even in matter, everything has its own nature. What is the nature of water? The nature of water is coolness. Even if you heat the water, after some time, you know, you remove the fire and keep the water to cool, it will cool down and go back to its own temperature. The heat will be removed. Because the nature of water is coolness. What is the nature of fire? The nature of fire is heat and light. If there's no heat, no light, it's not fire. What is the nature of wind? The nature of wind is to move on, to move on. If it's still and no leaves are moving, oh, today like there's no breeze at all. So it's meant to move. It's on the move all the time. So we can say that everything has its own nature. Similarly, soul too has its own nature. So what is peace? Peace is the true nature of the soul. The body is always in a state of motion. Only when a person dies, we may say for the body, his body is laid to rest. His body is laid to rest. The body is laid to rest, eternal rest, eternal sleep. But then again we pray to God, oh God, may his soul rest in peace. Because even if the body is in a state of peace, it's not necessary that the soul is also in a state of peace. Now this is something very interesting. That's why we pray to God for the peace of the soul. Because that soul who was in that body and left the body, what were his personality traits? If it was always in sorrow and suffering all the time in life, even if we do pray, it's good for, you know, to pray like that. But then it has carried its personality traits with itself. So whatever it did in his life, that's what it has carried. If it has not been peaceful in life, how can he be peaceful after life? Because the same thing, that's what he has carried forward. And that's why we say, peace is now or never. It's now or never. And how far is peace away from you? It is only one thought away. Only one thought away. And that thought is, I am a peaceful soul. I come back to my own nature. Everything has to come back to its own nature. So that's what meditation helps us to do. We come back to our own original nature. Because I create that awareness that I am a peaceful. And when I say I'm a peaceful soul, I realize that I also have a home, which is a peaceful abode. This world is a world of action. The soul has taken this body to perform actions. That's why Shakespeare said, this world is a stage and we are all actors playing our respective roles. An actor has a respective role to play, and for that he will wear that type of costume. So the body is the costume and the soul is an actor on this world drama stage, and each actor is playing his own role. No two acts are alike, just like no two fingerprints are alike, no two thumbprints are alike. No two eye prints are alike, you know, it's all biometric we take, you know, we say. So each one is different. No two DNA alike. You know, DNA has to match, definitely. But then each one is different. Each one is different. Each one is unique. Each one's role is special. And therefore we say, don't compare yourself with anyone else. Never say, I am higher than him, or never say, I am lower than him. Because if you say, I am higher than him, that means superiority complex will come. If I say, I am lower than him, then inferiority complex will come. But if I say, I am equal to him, now in what way I am equal? Because all our souls, in this way, we are all equal. Each one is a child of God, so we are all equal. So as we are having the same size, we are all equal, all points of light. And each one's light is originally very divine. And actually, whatever we are striving for, we are striving for peace, we are striving for love, we are striving for happiness. All these what we are striving for, they are all within me. I don't have to look for them outside. It is complete ignorance if I'm looking for peace outside. It's complete ignorance if I'm looking for happiness outside. It's all in the mind. It's complete ignorance if I'm looking for love outside. Because if I'm looking for love outside, for example, this is not coming from the soul. And if I'm looking for love outside, it means it will be only physical love. Physical love, you know, you may say to someone, you don't love me. And she or he will say, oh, I love you very much, and he'll start kissing me and all that, or hug me. But externally, okay, kissing and hugging, but internally, that one may not really like me. It's not true that he will like me also, or he's really loving me. But externally, yes. So we say, if it's only external, it's not true love. Because true love is love for the soul, not for the body. This is the understanding part of everything. True love is love for the soul, and that's the value. If it's only physical love, it becomes only a vice. It's like lust. So lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, jealousy, hatred, they're all there because there is ignorance of the true self. So when I say I'm peaceful soul, there can be no question of peacelessness. There can be no question of hatred too. Because I'm a lawful soul as well. Hate comes when there's no love. But as I'm a lawful soul, I radiate vibrations of love only to everyone. Whoever comes in my way. It's not that I love everyone in this world except my neighbor. You know, some people may say that. I love everyone in this world except my neighbor. Well, why not your neighbor too? No, that person is very bad. Why is he bad? No one is bad in this world. No one is bad in this world. Because everyone is God's creation, God's child. That's why even in the Bible it is mentioned. You know, I remember we go to prisons to tie rakhi to prisoners. In some prisons it's written outside, hate not the sinner, but hate his sins. Don't hate the sinner. Because a sinner also is a soul, a child of God. But hate his sins. Why hate his sins? Because the sin which he has committed, you don't touch that. Somebody is a thief, somebody is a robber, somebody is a murderer. Don't hate that person. Because maybe he murdered somebody and when he went home he started, loving his child. So love is his true nature, not murder. But what circumstances came that he murdered? It's the climax of anger. And after somebody has reached that climax of anger, even he realizes, I shouldn't have done that, but that is too late. We are seeing in today's world the climax of lust. We talk about rape, rapism. The climax of anger is killing someone. The climax of greed, it is, corruption. How much do we need? How much? You don't need much. Needs are not many, but wants can be unlimited. You know, I want this, I want that, I want that, I want that. Needs for the body are not many. No one can die by eating little food. But someone can die if he eats too much food. Too much is a vice. And therefore we say that greed has led to corruption in this world. Attachment, which is really not love. Attachment is also a vice. It doesn't mean that there should be no attachment, but then we say that attachment means it's a possession, you're possessing somebody because you're so attached. That possessiveness is definitely a vice. You can't possess anything, anyone. If I say you do as I say, you have to be here, you have to sit here, you don't have to speak. You are possessive. But that soul is also independent. Nowadays, you can't even tell children to do something. You can only ask them, child, will you do it? Child, do you like to do this? You won't say, do this, do this, do this. You'll say, I'm not do. So you can't force them. You can't be possessive. So we can be polite, and we can be loving, and with that love, if we say, that one will be ready to do it. But if we try to force him, he will retaliate. He will react. So love is good. Non-attachment is the real aim of life. Living in this world and not attached to anything. And we give a very beautiful example of a lotus flower. A lotus flower grows in a muddy pond. The whole pond is so dirty. His whole family of the lotus flower is in the dirt, the leaves, the stems and the roots, everything is so filthy. But that lotus flower is above that filth, dirt. And that lotus is so important. It is used for worship. Only that part which is above the filth. So meditation really teaches us the real art of living. Live like a lotus, unattached and loving. It's a beautiful balance. Live in this world. You don't have to renounce everything and become like a recluse. No, no. This is God's world, God's creation. So we have to live in this world, but live like a lotus. And when we learn how to live like a lotus, we can always be at peace, always at peace. Because I realize that peace is my true nature. But when I have attachment, mine, then that will lead to sorrow. Nothing is mine really. Even this body is not mine. The soul cannot say, I possess the body. No. In a second, when the account with the body is finished, the soul will have to leave. It can't be there forever. Everyone, you get a visa to come to a country and it's just maybe 3 months visa. You can't stay longer than that. Or 6 months visa. After that, you have to leave. So we say that your birth date, your birth year and your the death year, that actually is not very important. But the dash in between, that is important. What you did in that life and what you have taken with you, nothing of your wealth or your mansions or your accounts, your money, all your houses, nothing you will take with you. But what you did, your actions. So that's what we take. So when we think in this way, we pay attention to our actions more than anything else. What am I supposed to do at this time? So thoughts, and after that, the decision factor of the soul, and then the action part by the soul. But that action part should be the last part. First, the thoughts come in your mind. And then the intellect decides whether I should reject it or accept it. Your inner voice, which is always guiding you. Because the soul is truly very pure in its original state. Like I have put on white clothes, they are so clean. But then gradually, they may get dirty. So the soul too is very pure in its original nature. That's why whenever I have an impure thought or something which is not good, it's bad, immediately I feel guilty. Oh, why am I thinking like that? Because that's not my true nature. As I put on white, but even if there's a small, a bit of filth or dirt or maybe a patch or maybe some stain, I will not like it. And nobody will see that white dress which I have put on, but that stain which is there on it, that will be visible more. Oh, you have a stain here. But that white which I have put on, that they will not see. The negativity is seen first. Positivity, however much one may have, hardly that is, even seen or even thought of. So if I'm in my original nature so pure, so even if that little bit speck of impurity of thoughts, that also bites me. I should not think like that. It's very bad. Because in my original nature I'm so pure. So every soul is an embodiment of purity, peace, love, happiness, I know, and even inner strength, my resilience, my willpower. That's all within me. I don't have to look for it outside. And how am I going to achieve it? By having an awareness. Yes, it is within me. Awareness is necessary. Like there's a very, you know, very strong man, very full of muscles, very, very strong person. But if he's sleeping, that strength will not be understood by him because he's sleeping. But once he wakes up, he realizes, oh, I'm so strong. But when he's sleeping, it's as good as dead. Deep sleep, one doesn't even come to know where he's sleeping and whatnot. So just as awakening is important, so too the awakening from inside, I am a peaceful soul. So I won't say I want peace, but what will I say? I am peace. Big difference. I won't say I want love, but I will say I am an embodiment of love. So self-awareness means awareness of your own original innate qualities. So you are that. And my home is not this physical home, this worldly home. Today I'm living in one country, tomorrow I may start living in another country. Today another one house, tomorrow another house. My residence will change. But my permanent home is never changing. Temporary, you know, residence can change. Everyone has two addresses. The one is permanent address, the other is temporary address. So in this body, I'm temporary. That can change. But my permanent address is from where I have come in this world. Because this world is a stage and we are actors. The actor's home is different. So my home is beyond the five elements. Beyond the light of the sun, moon and the stars too. It is in the sixth element of the infinite golden red light. This physical world has five elements, we say. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. And these five elements, they actually make the body too. The body is made up of these five elements. And when a person dies, the five elements have to go back to the five elements. But I don't mix in the five elements because I am something beyond the five elements. My residence is the sixth element of infinite golden red light. I dwell there. So in meditation, in a second, I go to that supreme abode and visualize myself in that world of light. That's why even now when we were sitting in meditation, the red light was put on. So the first step is going inwards. Inwards. I'm a soul seated here in the center of my forehead. I'm master of my physical senses. And then in the second step, it is upwards. You become so light. And something light always goes upwards. So I'm a light. Double light, we say. Each one is double light. One light means this light. Light. And the second meaning of light is not heavy. So that is also light. So I'm double light. I'm a point of light. And I'm very light. So in a second I can fly with my mind and intellect to my supreme abode, the world of infinite golden red light. And there I visualize myself to be totally free from all pulls of matter. No pulls of matter anyway, anyhow. Nothing is mine. This mine is forgotten because I am a soul. So when I say I am a soul, immediately I am able to detach my mind from this physical body. And when I say I am the resident of the soul world, my mind is totally away from any physical objects or people or whatsoever. And I'm in that world of light, totally detached from everything. And that's my true nature. I did not possess anything of this world, nor will I ever possess it forever. No. Not even my body, but I am an eternal, immortal, imperishable soul. So now, let us experience that once again as an immortal, imperishable soul in the world of light. This red light will be switched on. Lal light kare. And within a second, create that awareness. So first an inward journey. I tell myself, I am a soul. A point of divine light and might. I am the master of my senses. This physical body is my costume. I detach my mind from the pull of the body. And go beyond. The sun, moon and stars and the five elements with my mind and intellect to my eternal home, the world of light. I see myself in the world of light. Completely peaceful. Peace is my true nature. It is the true state of the soul. I am a peaceful being. I am the the resident of the peaceful abode. I have come from this abode to the physical world, and now I have to go back to that world. It takes only a second. In this peaceful abode, there is light and light all around. How peaceful I am. I am totally detached from everything. Nothing of the world belongs to me. I'm an embodiment of peace and love. I am now aware of my true nature. I am so light and detached. I then gradually come back into the physical world, in my physical costume, and play my role like an actor on a stage. Taking care of all my responsibilities, but still staying detached and loving. Non-attached and loving. As now I have come to know who I